From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf is forcing all 67 counties to buy new voting machines by 2020, a process that could cost $120 million. Why?
Pennsylvania is just one of a handful of states where most or all of the voters rely on voting machines that don't produce any kind of voter-verified paper ballot or auditable paper trail.
That's WESA reporter Chris Potter.
That's been a concern for folks for a long time because, hey, if somebody were to hack a voting machine, and there are reasons to believe that voting machines could be hacked, how would we know that that had happened, right?
But the state says there's no evidence Pennsylvania's voter rolls have ever been hacked. So why are counties shelling out for new voting machines, including Philadelphia, which approved a top-of-the-line model last week?
Today on The Why, creating a paper trail.
Chris Potter says it all started after the last presidential election.
There was a lawsuit filed by Jill Stein, who people may recall as the presidential candidate in 2016.
It's time to reject the lesser evil and fight for the greater good, like our lives depend on it, because they do. I'm Dr. Jill Stein. I approve this message.
And spoiler alert for people who weren't paying attention, she didn't win.
Mm-hmm.
But the Green Party had some concerns about, well, you know, we see improprieties. There are some vote totals here that just don't add up.
As voters in the United States and in Pennsylvania, we deserve a voting system that is accurate, secure, and just. A voting system that we can trust, in which every vote counts and every vote is counted.
Here in Pittsburgh, you know, we had, after the election, we had a couple of these machines get re-canvassed, and it's essentially where you kind of check the record and make sure the voting totals that were reported on election night were correct. And so there were a handful of districts where that happened here. And I was there, and I can tell you it was a deeply unsatisfying process, unsatisfying for the Green Party folks and unsatisfying for us reporters who had to write a story about it and try to make something interesting of it. Essentially, what that process involved is elections officials took out a folder. They had the tape that was produced on election night that said, you know, 47 votes were cast for Donald Trump, 48 for Hillary Clinton, and 3 for the Greens or whatever. And then they would sort of check that against a sort of newly polled report, asking essentially the same machine, the same hardware, hey, is this the result you got? And guess what? It was exactly the same.
I mean,
they asked the machine the same question 2 different times, and they basically got the same answer, and that was it.
We hold recounts to ensure that we can be confident in our vote. And we are having, you know, great difficulties.
They challenged the results, and there was sort of a longstanding lawsuit that's been going on for the past couple years in the wake of that election, which was resolved late last year with a settlement where the state kind of agreed to do what Governor Wolf was sort of heading towards doing anyway, which is to actually require the use of these machines in time for the next presidential election.
Chris, but there have always been longstanding election concerns in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, here in Allegheny County, I can remember almost from the day that we bought the machines that we have now, and these are touchscreen machines without paper ballots, there were people who were concerned about the hacking, the ability to hack these machines. I think it's important to point out that as a matter of protocol, none of these machines are hooked up to the internet. The odds of them acquiring a virus that way are infinitesimal. But, you know, there have been over the years kind of hackathons, events where, you know, computer science experts would go and see if they could hack into a voting machine. And some of them have done so just standing at the machine itself. Now, typically that involves kind of fiddling with a machine that might draw attention from poll workers, at least you hope it would. But the fact of the matter is that there have long been these kind of concerns that these machines are a little more vulnerable than we thought they were when we first bought them more than a decade ago.
So what Governor Wolf has asked for is a 21st century machine, like some sort of, it sounds like some sort of technological innovation, but really voting machines are supposed to be pretty simple and straightforward. So in this scenario, what does technology mean?
So they all have every one of these machines that I've seen and that we'll be using has some kind of paper component. And the way the machines varies is in terms of how the technology relates to the paper. So some machines, there's still a scanner that you could hand mark your ballot and you put it into a scanner, like an optical scanner. It kind of looks like a fax machine grafted onto like a garbage can where the ballots kind of go into. And that scanner reads your choices. And then that scanner does two things. One, it just sort of kind of keeps a running total. Okay, that's, you know, the 47th vote for Bob Casey. But it also, this new generation of scanners also will do sort of an image scan. They'll kind of create a PDF file, a sort of electronic facsimile of your ballot. And what that means is even before you get to the paper ballots, now this scanning device has both the running totals and sort of a copy of every ballot that has been cast in that machine.
So, Chris, basically, what do the machines look like now?
So, different machines look differently. I understand in Philadelphia, you folks have just bought the ES&S XL, which is like, it's the biggest of these systems. It's kind of a big widescreen thing, and the idea there is the whole ballot that you would be voting on appears before you on one screen, as opposed to a lot of the touchscreens we use now where you kind of have to click through from one ballot to the next to, you know, to get to your school board race or whatever. So that's kind of the top end of the system, and very controversial in some circles because it's also the most expensive. Other machines kind of look differently. There's one system that's basically stored in a couple of different like briefcases, kind of metal-looking briefcases. They look like if James Bond was out to do a Bond referendum or something like that in a remote exotic island somewhere, these were the machines that he'd bring. They look kind of high techy. You open them up, they're in briefcases. So different machines kind of look different ways. Others, it's like the marking of the ballot, as I said before, is just a ballpoint pen. You fill in an oval and then you put it into a scanner. Those kind of look the least high tech, but you've got systems like the one you just bought in Philadelphia, which really do kind of feel like next generation technology.
So, Chris, you talked to some poll workers who came to Erie, where these machines were displayed, to check them out. What do they think?
You know, it's interesting. There are a lot of different opinions there. The XL machine I mentioned is kind of the Donald Trump of voting machines. People either really loved it or they really hated it.
Oh, wow.
They either saw it as the answer to all of democracy's problems or the means by which democracy would be completely destroyed.
That's an interesting analogy.
For the number of reasons for that. I would say most of the poll workers, they've been around for a little bit. And there was a general sense that no matter what you do, no matter what machine you get, there's always going to be a potential problem. One of the critics of these machines that I've spoken to in my own reporting is Mary Beth Kuznick. She is the head of a group called Vote PA.
We have groups and individuals working to protect voting rights and to get better voting systems throughout Pennsylvania.
And she especially is concerned about the sort of reliance on technology for voting systems. And that's true both of the older systems that we currently use now and even some of the newer systems, because a lot of them still rely on the use of barcodes or QR codes to tabulate ballots on election night. And she's got concerns about this.
It's not truly verifiable by the individual voter. And barcodes and QR codes can be manipulated. They can be spoofed. They can, if somehow the machine did fail, they can fail.
Some counties in Pennsylvania already have systems that have a paper trail. One of them is Chester County near Philadelphia. Yeah. Would those counties still have to get new machines?
Yeah, I mean, I think that right now that is my understanding is that they have to do that, and there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that, and we haven't gotten into this, one of the reasons that you need new scanners is because the scanners are part in a lot of these voting systems. They're part of the whole system. Every polling place, even if it's a polling place that says, you know what, we're gonna rely mostly on hand marked ballots, there are issues of accessibility with people who have disabilities, and very often it's necessary to have a touch screen system for them because they can kind of plug in with a set of earphones if they are visually impaired to hear that. If they have a kind of motor problems, holding a pen or whatever. Every voting place will have to have some kind of computer technology, even if it mostly relies on the ballots. Mm. And those systems kind of work in concert with the scanning system.
They don't have the hanging chads, though, do they, Chris?
You know, we all remember this from Florida in 2000. You know, that bald guy, like, peering at the ballot with kind of cross-eyed. And I say this as a bald guy myself, no disrespect. You know, kind of peering cross-eyed at the ballot.
Jackie, how were those votes counted? Do you have an hour? I can explain it. It was pretty complicated. First, you have to know that the punch hole is called a chad. It is attached to the ballot by four threads. In the morning,
that's kind of the irony of this is we went digital, we went electronic in part to avoid that system.
Right.
And now there's this concern that we went too far, the pendulum swung too far towards the tech driven side.
Hmm.
So and so now we're kind of coming back.
So what are the political ramifications here? The state Republican chair Val DiGiorgio says this is a non-issue because there hasn't been a documented case of voter tampering.
You know, I look at my home county, Chester County. We went to a new voting machines about 10 years ago. They worked fine. There's a paper trail.
You know, I can't help but sort of hear echoes of the Democratic response to Republican-led efforts to impose voter ID laws. They said, hey, there isn't really a problem with voter fraud. Is that a fair comparison?
It's a very interesting one. And, you know, one of the other things I always think about is I don't know what it says about the two parties that on the left, they distrust the technology. They distrust the machines. And on the right, they seem to really distrust the people voting on them. And that's kind of where the focus of skepticism is. But I think we're also at this point here, for good or ill in our society, where there is just sort of a radical distrust of almost every public process by which we live. And even if hacking never happens in an election, the fear of hacking, the concerns about voter hacking, just like the concerns of voter fraud, can cast doubt on the results of an election. And that in itself can have political consequences. And I think that one of the things that's going on here is that people are trying to find a way that even if the machines were never hacked, it's also important that people have confidence that the results were never hacked. And paper is a way to do that. It's as much about the perception of the process as it is about the process itself. And I think that's really what the use of paper speaks to.
Chris, thank you.
Thanks,
thank you.
Chris.
It was great being with you.
The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov and Alex Stern, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari.
Download us wherever you get your podcasts and tweet us at AnnetteJH, at Shai Binyakov, and at Alex Ray Stern.
Subscribe to the podcast and leave a review.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.